If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, today's scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him. So he went to the Pharisee's home and took his place at the table. There was a woman who was a notorious sinner in that city. When she learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's home, she took an alabaster jar of perfume and knelt at his feet behind him. She was crying and began to wash his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. Then she kissed his feet over and over again, anointing them constantly with the perfume. Now the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this and told himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who was touching him and what kind of woman she is. She is a sinner." Jesus told him, "Simon, I have something to ask you." "Teacher," he replied, "ask it." Two men were in debt to a moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other owed him 50. When they couldn't pay it back, he generously canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "I suppose the one who had the larger debt canceled." Jesus told him, "You have answered correctly." Then turning to the woman, he told Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but this woman has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the moment I came in, has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with perfume. So I'm telling you that her sins, as many as they are, have been forgiven. And that's why she has shown such great love. But the one whom little is forgiven loves little." Then Jesus told the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." Those who were at the table with them began to say among themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sin?" But Jesus told the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord. Well, I do have one more joy that I wanted to share, but since it was part of the sermon, I decided to wait until now. This week, I was able to finish my garden. I know that's not really a major milestone, but it's one that left me feeling happy and accomplished. I have a 20, 25-foot by 50-foot garden, and once done, it just felt great. But the feeling was short-lived as I went about setting up the sprinkler system. Try as I might, I just could not get water to all of the garden. Now, let me tell you, the garden is up on a hill, so I automatically lose water pressure going up the hill. I could add more hose lines, but that only decreased the pressure even more, creating more gaps. I tried and I tried, but even the best solution was just not coming to me, and it left some of the plants untouched by the water. There was no simple way to just turn on the hose and walk away while getting water to all of the plants. As I sat watching the one spinning sprinkler going around dispersing the water, I noted that it wasn't reaching one corner. Strangely, my thoughts turned to our scripture readings for today. The sprinkler reminded me of the law. In this case, the religious law that was present in the early church. In Galatians, we find Paul discussing the merits of the law in relation to salvation. The Jewish Christians of the time had certain rules that they followed. Some of them were from their Jewish heritage. For instance, the rules regarding circumcision. While this posed no problem for those who were Jewish-minded, it did mean that those uncircumcised could not or would not be saved. Seems like, in this case, the law actually excluded certain people from the grace of God and his gift of salvation to all. To some in that time period, that meant that the Gentiles could not receive God's grace, and that those who consorted with the Gentiles were now unclean. Those in Jerusalem at the time were very adamant about the need to follow the law in order to be saved. But is that what Christ taught then and still teaches us today? In our gospel reading, we find Jesus having dinner with some of the Pharisees. Along comes a sinner who recognizes the power in Jesus and washes and kisses his feet. When questioned by Simon as to why Jesus was allowing a known sinner to wash his feet, the host was showing that the law meant more to him than Jesus did. Jesus said as much when he replied, telling Simon that Simon hadn't offered him any of the same courtesies. What Jesus did next floored Simon even more. Simon and most of the other guests could not believe that Jesus told this woman that her sins were forgiven. But why couldn't they believe this? Was it because they believed that only God can forgive sin? Was it because Jesus dared to offer the sinner something that he had not offered to them? Maybe it was because they couldn't believe in the power of love and forgiveness over the law. It was probably a combination of all three, but mostly the last one. They couldn't understand that the sinner who hadn't followed the law was given the same grace and salvation as they were to receive. But this was long ago. How does it apply to us now? Well, first, let's look at our daily lives. In our communities, who here can raise their hand and honestly say that they have obeyed continuously all of the laws? Anyone? If you've crossed the yellow line while you're driving, you broke the law. If you've sped, you've broken the law. If you've crossed the street in the middle instead of at the crosswalk, you've broken the law. In our denomination, have you obeyed and followed all of the laws? If you've bought a lottery ticket or a raffle ticket, you have broken Methodist law. In the Methodist Church, we believe that lotteries, raffles, and gambling teaches people to believe in something else other than the provision of Christ. In our faith, we have the Ten Commandments and the teachings of Jesus. Can anyone say that they've consistently followed every law handed down by God? If you've sassed or talked back to your parents, or if you've decided that sleep was more important than going to church, then you've broken the law. But what it all comes down to is the fact that if the law is the only way to salvation, then none of us are or ever will be saved, because we can't follow every law. Sure, we could add more laws, or in my garden, I could add more lines to the sprinkler system. But we end up with a very unusable system. Because as I added lines to the sprinkler system, those lines covered less and less of the group of plants that needed the life-giving and loving water that would help them grow. So it would stand to reason that if I reduced the number of lines or the laws, that I might obtain my goal, because the reduced number of lines would have more effect and pressure. Thus, they would have greater coverage. That would bring us to the next question of which lines or laws do we eliminate? Well, that's a really tough one. The easy answer would be to eliminate any laws that aren't biblically based. But even using this filter would be hard to come up with the laws to keep or throw away. The greatest religious minds have separated into denominations over this. We could say that only the Ten Commandments and the direct laws given to us by God and Jesus are biblically based, so they should be the only laws. We could say that the only laws based on love, compassion, kindness, respect, and equality should be the ones that we use to judge salvation on. But as I went about solving my problem, there were a few things that I noticed. First, as I removed lines, the remaining lines gained power and coverage. I could reach and save more plants by reducing the number of lines. This was a big help, and I was encouraged by the results. Although removing some of the lines brought me closer to reaching my goal, I still couldn't reach every corner of the garden. I had three lines that were necessary, three laws, so to speak. So now what? How do I reach the untouched areas? Well, the second thing that I noticed was that I had to be more involved with those remaining lines and laws. I had to be more involved with the garden or the kingdom if I wanted to fill it with the loving, life-giving water it so desperately needed. I couldn't just set the system and walk away from it. I had to participate. I had to turn on one line for about an hour or so, occasionally checking to see that the water was getting to where it was needed, and also to make sure that I wasn't drowning or washing away plants and seeds. Then, when the saturation was right, I had to turn off line one and turn on line two, and so on. I had to be involved in the work. We can't just go to church on Sunday and set the system on autopilot. We have to be more involved in the congregation, the community, and the world. We have to love, respect, and have compassion for those around us, no matter what's going on in their lives or ours. We have to condemn less and love more. This is what threw the Pharisees off when Jesus pardoned the woman. Jesus went beyond the law to show that the power of God's love and grace and compassion was all that was needed. And he showed what true salvation was and who was covered by that salvation. Remember John 3:16? Salvation was for everyone who believed, not just those that could follow the rules and the laws, not just for the Jews, not just for the perfect people. It was for everyone. The third thing that I noticed, I didn't notice until after I had worked with the water delivery system for a while. This thing was far-reaching, yet it was also very personal and should also be personal to you. As I worked through the progression of turning on lines and turning off others, I stood there admiring my accomplishment. I walked around the garden and tried to stay out of the water spray. After a few hours of this, guess what happened? Anyone? It rained. It rained. And you're snickering, and it's kind of like the old story of washing your car and the rain comes, and here I watered the garden and the rain came. But, you know, instead of laughing at it, it made me realize something else. It made me realize something very profound. It was something that I knew and I've thought of before, but something that I, and I'm sure many others, have forgotten and remembered many times over and over again in our lives. That rain covered everything. It covered the garden, the grass, the trees, the house, the tools, the car, and it covered me. It didn't just cover the garden or the kingdom, so to speak. It didn't just cover the plants that stayed within the kingdom. It covered the Gentile grass, the sinning, polluting car, the house that was designed to keep us away from the rain. It covered me, and it covered you. Both of us who often think that we don't need to work on or in the kingdom. The rain was God telling me, don't worry. I got this and you covered with my love and compassion. Wow, what a joy that was, remembering that God has me covered and that he has you covered and everyone else covered. What a revelation and a lesson that the law will never, ever surpass or take precedence over God's love and grace. We all need to carry this lesson out into the world. We need to remember that love, kindness, grace, forgiveness, and compassion always, always trump the law and the rules. We need to learn and carry into our lives that judgment on our part, for those of us not like us, for those that don't follow or know the laws of those that break the laws, is not how Christ acted. Even though he had every right to judge. This judgment on our part is not what Christ wants from us as we seek to work and participate in his kingdom. He wants us to love and forgive. He wants us to show kindness and compassion. The law is not the way to bring sinners into his kingdom, for the law condemns and does not love. For if the law is the only way, then all of us are out of luck. Love and compassion are the only ways to bring sinners to Christ. It's how I came. It's how you came. I challenge you to work in the garden of God's kingdom with grace and forgiveness instead of condemnation. I challenge you to choose to go about your kingdom work with that same love and compassion instead of judgment. Come together in the rain of God's love and salvation to fill your watering cans in the spirit of Jesus' teachings and examples so that you may carry that living and loving water out to all that you meet. Now, last night during our contemporary service, the worship leader had a bunch of great songs that he had based on the scripture reading that just fell right in. But one of them really hit me and kind of drove it home. And if you take nothing away from today other than this, this is what you want to remember. This is what you want to commit. It's a chorus to a song called Forgiven by Bethel Live. And the chorus goes like this. I am forgiven at the foot of the cross. I am accepted by the power of your love. My every stain is washed away. I am forgiven. Take note. You are forgiven at the foot of the cross. You are accepted by the power of his love. It does not say law there. It says love. Your every stain is washed away and you are forgiven. It wasn't by the law. It was by his love. When you go out with your watering cans to the world, spread that loving water, that living, loving water to everyone that you meet.